السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. I welcome all of you back to this session that we've decided to have. Just as a reminder about this great opportunity of Ramadan that is coming ahead of us, and to remind each other about the importance of Ramadan and how to take advantage of it as much as possible, because we don't know how many Ramadans we have left, and we want to make the most of it. We will hear things about Ramadan that some of you may be hearing every year, but to keep our hearts refreshed, we should hear these things as if we are hearing it for the first time. That helps us to feel enthusiasm, and it just doesn't become a routine. Another Ramadan, another Ramadan, another Ramadan, and we don't feel any difference. So I'm sure you're going to hear ahadith and ayats and facts about Ramadan and reminders that you've heard many times before, which I have heard many times before. I like to approach it with the idea that this is something new for me, and so that it gets my enthusiasm going. So the first question that I ask myself and I ask you is, what does Ramadan mean to you? And everyone has to answer that. I mean, people would say, well, it's the month of fasting. Some would say it's the ninth month, say it's a special month. For each one, Ramadan means something, and you have to answer that for yourself. And the next question is, what emotions does the approach of Ramadan evoke in you and in me? Is it a longing? Is it excitement? Is it enthusiasm? Or it is a feeling of, you know, it's just another month? Or is it a feeling of indifference? Or is it a feeling that, oh, this is a month of burden, I can't eat, and so on and so forth? So different emotions we have to look in ourselves will give us an idea of our level of iman and where we stand truly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because all of these come to us and we need to analyze and see where we stand. So the next question is, do I and do you, each one of us, need to change? And is this Ramadan going to be the means and the catalyst of bringing about that change? Because sometimes we assess ourselves very, very improperly. We give ourselves credit where it's not deserving. We over-assess ourselves. We should always be critical against our own nafs, our own actions, our own akhlaq. We should be the prosecuting attorney against our own nafs, not the defense. So I remind myself and I remind you that I and you are jasad and ruh. We are a physical body and a metaphysical spirit, that is the ruh. And ultimately it is the ruh, the soul, that gives me the humanity, that distinguishes me from other creation, that gives me the honor of being the best of Allah's creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that it was only once the ruh was breathed into the form of our father Adam alayhi salam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the angels to prostrate to him. So that tells us the importance of the ruh. And if the ruh and our insides, our nafs, and our qulub, our hearts, the internal states, are healthy, then it has an impact on our external actions and our words. So if we are beautiful inside, we project in the world that people experience beauty. that animals experience from us beauty, that the plants experience from us beauty. Similarly, our external actions, such as salah and saum and acts of obedience, also have a positive effect on our internal states of our qulub, our hearts, our nufus, and our ruh. So it's a loop that works both ways. So if the ruh is healthy, our actions are beautiful. If the actions are beautiful, our ruh gets better and strengthened. So alhamdulillah, it's out of Allah's mercy and blessing that every year He grants us the opportunity to witness and to experience and to take advantage of this month of Ramadan. And once again, we are approaching another month of Ramadan in our lives. For some people, maybe 20th Ramadan. We have young students from Mount Holyoke and elsewhere. And for some of us, I think I'm the most senior most here, Ramadan, 68th time, for example. So, what does this Ramadan bring? What do I feel? Because the dawn of Ramadan is just over the horizon. It's just a few days away. So inshallah, we hope if we are healthy inside that we feel the excitement and anticipation as if we are waiting for a favorite guest or a favorite uncle that comes every year bearing gifts, special gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned a special value to. And there are great rewards in this month that we are going to remind each other about. And this is the month in which the true slaves, the ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, aspire and they compete with each other to get closer to Him with an increase in their acts of obedience. So the spirit of observance of Ramadan is to be lovingly, willingly, and enthusiastically striving to surrender to every act of every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best possible way, with full submission, with full awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with full awareness of our shortcomings. Because it is through these acts of ibadah, of worship, that we acknowledge the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one and only. And this is the tawheed of rububiyyah, who Allah is our Rabb, and we show that by tawheed of ubudiyyah, how we worship Him and we show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our submission. The month of Ramadan also gives us an opportunity to express our gratitude for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's infinite favors on us. And it is a reminder of the relationship of the Creator and the created. And therefore, we must always keep that in mind. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He created everything in the universe to serve us. He says this in the Quran, that I created everything, whatever is in the heavens and the earth, is subservient to you, to serve you. And as long as we see Him in the creation in everything, and we keep Him as our goal, the laws that He has created in this universe will keep everything subservient to us. However, when we lose sight of Him and we make the created realm our focus, our goal, then the laws become operative that drive us away from Him. And there is no running away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because everything belongs to Him. The only place to run from Him is to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He created us not without a purpose. He says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعَبُدُونَ I have created you only for one purpose, which is for my worship. And what does worship mean? Which is to do that which He loves and is pleased with. And to refrain, stay away from what He dislikes and He forbids in every aspect of our lives. Every day of our lives, to replace our desires, our inclination, our hawa, with what He loves. We are created as the best of His creation. He says, أحسن تقويم, the best creation, as long as we fulfill the covenant that we made with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he created our souls, we had a meeting with him, we had an assembly in front of him. أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, am I not your Lord? And our souls, which we don't have recall of, said, بَلَا شَهِدْنَا Yes, indeed, you are our Lord, we bear witness. Now, when we break that covenant, we lose our humanity. Because it is our souls that distinguish us. If that soul becomes corrupted, then we become the worst of his creation. When that soul is kept proper, then we are honored with the angelic sajda and the angelic du'as. So Ramadan is a means of regaining our souls as they were meant to be, in perpetual sight from the qalb, in perpetual awe, reverence and consciousness of our Creator, what is called taqwa. That is a manifestation of tawheed in all of its aspect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us in certain acts of worship. And the objective of the acts of worship that Allah has commanded us are not for his benefit, because Allah does not need anybody's worship, his salah, their fasting, their zakat, or anything else. The whole objective of these acts of worship is that it is through this that we draw nearer to him, because he is the true source of all happiness. So if we want true happiness, it will come from the source of all happiness. If we are looking for peace, then he is the source of absolute peace. If we are looking for solace and tranquility, then he is the source of all serenity. If we are looking for safety and security, then he is the source of all security. If we are looking for blessings, then he is the source of all gifts. So our salah is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our zakat is to purify ourselves from our greed, from our attachment to wealth, so that we can feel that attachment to Allah alone. Similarly, our fasting is to gain consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to gain his forgiveness. And the Hajj is a journey symbolic of our journey of our life back to him, leaving our worldly possessions and attachments. So, Ramadan, the fasting of Ramadan, the purpose of this is to take us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make us more aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we look at Ramadan, we are reminded of our duties. What are my duties in Ramadan? What are my do's and what are my don'ts? So we have the external, what we call do's. For example, most obviously, that we are to fast in the day. Number two, we are to stand in prayer, in qiyam, in the night, in salah. We are to read and reflect on the Qur'an, because this is the month of the Qur'an. We are to do extra nawafil, extra prayers. We have to do an abundance of dhikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to do a lot of du'a, because this is a special window of opportunity of acceptance. We are to feed the hungry. We have to feed the sa'imun, the fasting. We have to be generous, spending fi sabilillah, in the path of Allah, in every way we can. And we have to spend quiet time alone with ourselves in communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, munajat, as in the last 10 nights of i'tikaf, or last 10 days of i'tikaf. So those are some of the do's of Ramadan. And the don'ts of Ramadan, in our external acts, of course, are guarding my eyes, guarding them from watching haram, from looking at that which is makruh, guarding my ears from listening to that which Allah is not pleased with, whether it's gossip, backbiting, musical things, you know, all kinds of things, guarding our limbs from disobedience, guarding our feet from going to places that Allah is not pleased with, especially guarding our tongues. Guarding our tongues from lies, from backbiting, from slander, from cursing, foul language, being loud, being argumentative, fighting, excessive, unnecessary talk, boasting, gossip, and even excessive laughter, because it hardens the heart. So these are some of the don'ts that we should try and eliminate from our, our repertoire of actions. And then we have certain internal actions that we need to focus on in Ramadan that deal with the health of the qalb and the nafs. Because the ultimate prize of Ramadan is taqwa, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, that I have obligated, made fard for you, the fasting in Ramadan, so that you may gain taqwa. And that taqwa, that consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, translates into the perfection of my tawheed, with increase in my iman and in my acts of obedience and trying to fix my akhlaq, my conduct, my manners, my behavior. Cleansing, because there is forgiveness. What is forgiveness of sins? Means we are cleaning our hearts, we are cleaning our records from sins that we have committed knowingly and unknowingly. And the negative effects of the sin, because everything that we do has an impact on in this dunya and in the akhirah. And similarly, in our internal actions, forgiving others. We are looking for forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives those who forgive others. So cleansing our hearts from any ill feelings, rancor, grudge against others, jealousies, hatred, all of those things. And forgiving people. And who do you forgive? Those who have wronged you. There's no one else to forgive. And then, among the internal acts that we must do is guarding our qalb and our minds, our thoughts and our heart from thoughts, from desires, from aspirations and goals and plans, which Allah does not like, because Allah knows what's going on. He knows the inner discourses. He said, He knows the sirr and the akhfa, the hidden, which no one knows. Yet Allah is ar-raqib, He is as-sami, He is al-basir. He hears what's going on inside us. So if we have thoughts that are not so pleasing, that we wouldn't let anyone know, we should know that Allah knows them, so we have to guard against that. So this special month of Ramadan for us Muslims comes bearing a load of special gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because everywhere goodness abounds. And you can see the proof of that as it becomes for each one of us, and you, I'm sure you have experienced it, it becomes so much easier to do good deeds. Just look at the masajids. I'm not talking about the COVID time, but before, even in COVID you will see it. That the masajids that are empty in Sha'ban, on the 30th, are full the next day, instantly. And then they become empty again in Shawwal.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
The sound has become very distorted suddenly for the past 2 minutes. Difficult to follow. I don't know from your end what you can do.
Is everybody... So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us in this month with so many rewards, and He has facilitated for us ease in doing good, which we don't experience the rest of the year. We give much more in charity in Ramadan. We pray much more in Ramadan. We guard our tongues better and our eyes in Ramadan. These are proofs of the fact, as we are told by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that in the month of Ramadan, the gates of Jannah are opened wide and the gates of Jahannam are closed shut. And the evil shayateen, the devils, are restrained in chains. So what does it mean that the gates of Jannah are opened wide? It means all the actions that lead to Jannah, the good deeds, become facilitated and easier to do. And the meaning of the gates of Jahannam are closed means that those actions that lead to Jahannam become that much harder to do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the influence of the evil shayateen and the waswasa, the whispers that they suggest to us. So we are only left with our own nafs to make the decision. And this is a good way of also assessing what kind of a nafs do I have, because there is no shaitan left to blame in Ramadan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy, gives us opportunities to do great good in this month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifts during Ramadan the veils of heedlessness, you know, that we develop over our hearts because of disobedience and sinful acts that distance us from Him. And He helps us to focus on our ultimate goal, which is His pleasure and His nearness and His paradise. So just as the spiritual health manifests itself, our words and actions, as we said before, will have an influence of our internal state. So through this month of fasting, this striving, we are to become more conscious of Him. It also helps us to see things clearly. Clearly, such that we see the akhirah clearly. We see the reality of our life, the purpose of our life clearly. And it provides a means of forgiveness of our sins, which again improves the way we see things. It energizes us to race and compete to get closer to Him. And it helps us to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, whenever a person gives up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to give up certain things in Ramadan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rule is that when a servant of Allah gives up something for Allah, he, being the magnanimous, the most generous, replaces it with something that is better. So we are not being deprived in any way. Whatever we give up of food or drink will be given to us back in many folds in much better ways. So if we show gratitude in this month to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His blessings, He will increase His blessings upon us. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that if you thank Me, I will increase My blessings on you. Now the month of Ramadan, as we know, was honored by the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's last revelation, the Quran, which is the means of guidance to the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the light of our hearts and the only way back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the words, the actual words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we read the Quran, we should feel that reverence. Where did these words come from? These are words that my Rabb said in His own way, that we have no way. These are the words that were recorded in Lauh al-Mahfuz, which we have no idea of what it is. These are the words that Al-Qalam wrote, that Allah created first. These are the words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down into the heavens. These are the words that were carried by the best and greatest of angels, Jibreel alayhi salam. These are the words that were imprinted in the heart of the best of Allah's creation, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we must feel awe and reverence and weight of these words. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if the Quran were to come down on a mountain, it would crumble out of fear and awe and reverence and humility. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us how magnificent this is, this month which Allah honored by the revelation of His kalam. And there are some narrations from previous athar that all of the revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came down in the month of Ramadan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started the Quran with the story of our father Adam alayhi salam and our mother Hawa alayhi salam. And what happened, where one act of disobedience under the deception of shaitan, our eternal enemy, made us lose our rank and place in Jannah. And the rest of the Quran essentially shows us the way to go back home to Jannah. Now, as we said before, we don't know if we have this Ramadan destined for us. We hope, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ballaghna Ramadan, Ya Allah, help us to reach Ramadan, and not only reach Ramadan, but to complete Ramadan, and to complete Ramadan in a way that is accepted to Him. And we don't know if there is going to be another Ramadan. We don't even know if this one is there, but let us take advantage of this. It is essential to maximize the benefits and rewards of this Ramadan. You see, just imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not made fasting an obligation in Ramadan and had just kept it optional. You know, if you feel like, you fast. How many of us would have fasted? You can get an idea because we can see how many of the nawafil acts we do, how many fasts in the rest of the year we perform, where we know it is good to fast on Mondays and Thursdays and the 13th, 14th, 15th and every other day and Shawwal and so on and so forth and Ashura. How many of us do that? Now imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not obligated, made fard for us fasting in Ramadan, how many of us would have lost the opportunity to benefit from all of the blessings of Ramadan? So this is, as some have said, and there's actually a hadith about this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is amazed at the people being dragged into Jannah by chains. Into Jannah by chains. Yes, Jannah by chains. In other words, they were unwilling, but Allah is putting on them such things by which they will come into Jannah. So this fasting that He made an obligation is one such thing, that He made it an obligation. So you have no choice now. And by doing it, you will get Jannah. So this is one way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pulls us into Jannah, by making this an obligation and not leaving it as an option. So now, how do we maximize the benefits? And of course, that comes with ilm. Ilm, knowledge, is what our deen is based on. And knowledge is only useful if it is put into actions. And we stress this all the time. What we learn, we must put into action. Because otherwise, it becomes just accumulation of information and data. And we can have computers that have more data than any human being can accumulate. Yet, there is no place for them in Jannah, because it is the translation into action that ultimately matters. So, the ilm that we acquire will be an evidence for us on the Day of Judgment if we acted on it, and it will be evidence against us if we did not act on them. After knowing, we still didn't do it. As someone has said, that ilm, one of our salaf have said, that ilm knocks on the door of amal, of action. And if it does not get a response, it leaves. Ramadan is a month of action, where our focus should be more on action than more ilm. As we said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That, O you who have attained to faith, Allah has made an obligation upon you to fast like He did for people before you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may gain taqwa. That is the ultimate goal and prize of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, شَحْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنُ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيدًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. That Allah has made fasting in this month for you And he has made this a guidance for all of mankind, and the guidance that clarifies things. It's a Furqan. So whoever is present in this month must fast, and whoever has a concession, he is sick or he is traveling, he needs to fast other days. And in the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he does not want difficulty for you, but he wants you to be thankful to him. So this is the other thing that we must always keep in mind. So the goals of Ramadan, taqwa and shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both of these, where are they? They are internal states, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about taqwa, at-taqwa hahuna, pointing to his chest. It's inside. Shukr, gratitude, is inside. We show it by actions, but we feel it inside. So it's all about actions. So we must prepare to receive Ramadan because it's right around the corner. So to receive it, as we said, the focus is the heart. We have to start with tahara of the heart, cleansing of the heart from everything that Allah does not like. As we mentioned before, things like grudges, hatred, greed, jealousy, anger, arrogance, all the diseases of the heart. So we take an internal ghusl by doing tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before we enter Ramadan. Ya Allah, cleanse my heart so that it can benefit as it should. And we forgive everyone, including those who wronged us, so that we ourselves become eligible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. And this is also a month of rahmah, so we should also feel and show rahmah, or merciful love, for all of Allah's creatures, so that Allah may have mercy on us. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that whoever shows rahmah on the earth, Allah, the one in the heavens, will show rahmah on him. And then we need to practice the fasting with all of its internal and external requirements in the month of Sha'ban. As we know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not fast in any other month more than the month of Sha'ban, outside of Ramadan. In some, he fasted almost the entire month except the last day or so. In some, he fasted half. So we prepare ourselves by practicing fasting in this month. Some days, now there's only a week left, tomorrow being a Thursday, fast just to get into that. So we get a running start. We are preparing. And in that fast, we also practice not just hunger and thirst, but guarding our thoughts. You know, be in muraqabah, guarding, watching our thoughts, watching our words, watching our limbs from any acts of disobedience, so that we are ready to receive. We get a running start in Ramadan. And the things that distract us, that take a lot of our time, we have to start weaning off. If we are addicted to these things, all addictions have to be taken off. What are we addicted to these days? Social media, Netflix, all other addictions. Some people have the, you know, bala of smoking. Try and get off of all of these things so that we will have more time for quality, high-impact deeds. We need to reschedule our worldly obligations that are halal, paperwork, this, that, other things, to be completed before the month of Ramadan and the rest postponed after Ramadan, so that we can make the most out of this month of Ramadan. Now, as we said before, this is a month of the Quran. So how do we show gratitude for this greatest of Allah's favor? By increasing our interaction with the Qur'an, spending more time with the Qur'an, reading more Qur'an, being focused on it, and again, being ready by the time Ramadan comes. Similarly, we should also prepare by progressively spending more time in extra salah, nawafil salah, 2 rakah, 4 rakah, 10 rakah, 40 rakah, 50 rakah, extra every day. So that we get into that rhythm, because we want to get the most out of Ramadan. Similarly, we should start spending more time in dhikr, in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in istighfar, in la ilaha, tahleel, la ilaha illallah, takbir, Allahu Akbar, تحميد الحمد لله سبحان الله والحمد لله لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر. Spending more time in صلاة على النبي دروش شريف and spending quality time in دعاء because the month of دعاء where it's accepted is coming and we need to practice and focus in our دعاء and make our دعاء meaningful not heedless because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not answer a دعاء that is generated from a heedless heart. And we should also start restricting our desire for food. Start eating a little less. Start having less sweets, less pleasurable things. Let's curtail that so that in Ramadan, we maintain that. And our Ramadan is not one of just staying hungry and then coming back with a vengeance and eating more and ending up Ramadan with weight that's gone up instead of gone down. Then it becomes a month of feasting rather than fasting. And our focus is on iftar and iftar and iftar rather than on the sawm itself. So start restricting our food desires. Also, if we prepare ahead in this way, we will get a running start. You know, in everything in the world that we participate in, we prepare. Like for exams, we study. If you're in athletics, you have a game, you practice and you run and you get in shape. Everything we practice. Similarly, in Ramadan, we want to be ready. From the time the moon is sighted, we are on the go for Amal Saleh, competing in among the ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His obedience, doing extra, going that extra mile, to distinguish ourselves from the crowd and to gain His pleasure, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we must prepare. So this is some of the things that we should do before Ramadan. Some extra fasting if we can, extra salawat, you know, straightening our lives, weaning off of those food, weaning off of social media and so on and so forth. Now, we also set just before Ramadan, we must set goals for us. We set conditions, shurut, conditions, musharata, that this is what I want to achieve in Ramadan. And have an action plan for Ramadan on how to achieve these goals. For example, you know this is the month of the Quran. So my goal of Quran is that minimum this month I will have one complete reading, one khatma of the Quran. Those who read more, two khatmas, three khatmas, seven khatmas, a Quran every day, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires you. And people do that. People do that. So set a goal that is achievable for you of how much Quran I'm going to read every day. Similarly, as we said, this is the month of taqwa, which is awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, in all places, with a fear of displeasing Him and a desire of pleasing Him by fulfilling all of the obligations, what He has made fard for us, what He has legislated, and withholding and abstaining from all of His prohibitions, from His proscriptions. Don't do this. And also know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the best provision for you, khairu zat, at-taqwa. The best thing that you can take is taqwa. And the best garment that we can wear is taqwa. Because taqwa also comes from something that shields, that protects. It protects us from the hellfire, and it protects us from Allah's displeasure, and it protects us from His anger. So we try in this month to gain qurb to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in a hadith al-Qudsi, that a person comes closer to me by what I have made fard, an obligation for him. And then he keeps coming closer and closer to me by nawafil, by extra. So make sure we guard everything that is fard and that we do more and more nawafil, extra salah, extra charity, more dhikr by the tongue, more dhikr in the heart. And set a goal, I'm going to do 20 extra rakah every day. 40 extra rakah, whatever you can. Again, Ramadan is also called the month of sabr, Because we patiently endure, we go against the nafs, we stay hungry, we curb our desires, we stay thirsty, we guard our eyes. It's sabr on the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we fight our desires against our lower nafs out of obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember that sabr is a prerequisite of Ramadan. And it is also a goal of Ramadan, that the Ramadan fasting should make you a sabir. The more we persevere, the more it fortifies us. It strengthens us to be more persistent in his obedience and to be more resilient against temptations and his disobedience. As we said, this is the month of generosity. It is said in a hadith, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أجود الناس, that he, رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, was the most generous of people. And then, أجود بالخير من الريح المرسلة. In this month of Ramadan, he was even more generous. So this is the example he said. So how can we be generous? We can feed the hungry. We can feed those who are fasting. We can spend our money, as we said earlier, fi sabilillah, to all needy causes. There are needy Muslims all over the world. People who have no homes, people who are victims of war, of persecution, homelessness, living in refugee camps for decades and decades. People in Bangladesh, even the refugees from Myanmar, tents burned down, they have no place to go. There are many ways in which we can spend. And remember that what we give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a loan to Allah, in a way, as he said. It will never diminish the rewards. It will never diminish the wealth. So feed the hungry, help the people in the month of Ramadan. So make that also a goal. Because Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we mentioned part of it, was the most generous of all people, and he used to become more generous, if that's possible, in Ramadan, when Jibreel alaihi salam used to come to meet him and recite and review the Quran with him, rehearse the Quran. Every night he used to come in Ramadan to revise the Quran with him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to celebrate that by being even more generous. Then, as we said, this is the month of shukr. So how do we show shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his blessings? We show gratitude for the blessing of the time that he has given us. How do we show gratitude for the time? By using it wisely. Give you an idea. Get off the cell phone and the social media and the internet. This is the worst thing that we can spend our time, and it distracts us from our goal. Send a message ahead of time, not available till 15th of May. Finished. That's it. It's simple as that. Because with it, not only comes wastage of time, with it comes makruh, that which is disliked. With it comes haram, and mostly fudul, extra, superfluous, wastage of time, of your valuable asset, which is time. And time is life. And in Ramadan, it is. Very, very valuable. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, "Min husn al-Islam, al-mar'i tarkahu ma la ya'ni." From the perfection of Islam is to abstain from that which does not concern the person. Also, in the month of Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam set the example of taking a personal time, quiet time alone, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with reflection, with dua, with worship. And he used to take 10 days, the last 10 days of every Ramadan, in i'tikaf, away from his family, away from everyone, in the masjid in i'tikaf, every Ramadan till he passed away when he was not traveling. And in the last year of his life, the last 20 days. And that was a hint to people that this might be his last Ramadan. And his wives, Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiallahu anhunna, followed this practice after him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are we not more in need of this itikaf than they were? This is another special, intense opportunity, intense, concentrated period of time to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should not ignore this. Those who are not in the habit of doing this should do it, and you will, inshallah, benefit, and you will reap the rewards of it. So try and make your schedule so that you can perform itikaf for the whole 10 days. And if you can't, at least a few of those days. Brothers and sisters, sisters in their home especially. The Prophet ﷺ is reported by our mother Aisha radiallahu anha that he used to strive more in worship extra during Ramadan than he strove in any other time of the year. And then he would devote himself in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the last 10 nights of Ramadan more than he did in the first 20. So it's coming on strong at the end. That's what we want. Unfortunately, what we see in the masajids towards the end of Ramadan, the attendance starts to go down and people start to feel fatigue. So we have to prepare for that, that I'm not going to let that happen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, among the great blessings of this month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined a Laylatul Qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr khayrum min alfi shahr. It is a night in which the reward of worship in this night is greater than, is more. It's not 1,000 months, but greater than 1,000 months of worship. That's approximately 83 years and 4 months of worship. You get the reward of that in one night with the condition that it is done with iman, it is done with all the external and internal etiquettes that are required. And Allah accepts that, and it becomes easy to catch that because it comes in the last 10 nights by doing itikaf. If you are an itikaf, every night could be Laylatul Qadr, you've got it covered. So don't ignore that. And Laylatul Qadr is to be spent in worship, in dhikr, in Quran, in dua, in tilawa, and salah, and not in feasting, not more sweets, and so on and so forth. That's not what Laylatul Qadr is. There's plenty of time to celebrate after Ramadan. And as we know, Ramadan is the month of cleansing, of gaining forgiveness by fasting during the day with the right intention, iman and ihtisab, and two conditions. Iman, as iman is, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone without partners, with all aspects of his tawheed, believing in his books, believing in the angels, believing in the prophets that came, believing in the destiny, believing in Yawm al-Akhir, the day of judgment, Jannah, Nar, the arkan of iman, believing in them firmly, not just citing them or reciting them, having firm belief in that, ihtisab, and having full confidence and expectation of the reward, that Allah will forgive me. If we do that and we fast, observing all the internal and external dimensions of fasting, the etiquettes, then be sure that we, our sins will be forgiven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Man sama, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, he says, Man sama ramadana imanan wahtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. That whoever fasts Ramadan with two conditions, iman, ihtisab, as we mentioned, the full expectation and confidence in the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will have his previous sins forgiven. So we must make sure that we observe all the etiquettes. The external ones are easy, you know, no eating, no drinking, no relationship with our spouses, but also especially to improve, to guard the quality of it, the eyes, the ears, the tongues, the limbs, from everything that's forbidden that may harm the quality of our fast. And we guard our hearts from being occupied by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we also gain forgiveness in this month. Man qama Ramadan. Whoever, same type of hadith, whoever stands in the night, which is the tarawih, which is in the masjid or at home, for long hours in the night, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's countenance, wajh Allah, in Salah at night with two conditions, Iman, Ihtisab, same two, will have his sins forgiven. In this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also attached special rewards to the meal of Suhoor. So don't fall asleep at the time of Suhoor. Be up before Suhoor for extra Salah. And if you're sleeping, jump out of bed. Otherwise, you'll lose the barakah of rewards of Suhoor. Even if it's with one date or a sip of water, Suhoor is a blessed meal. And the angels pray for those who do Suhoor. And again, Suhoor shouldn't be so elaborate and so heavy that the rest of the day we are sleeping. It's the spirit of eating a little bit. And as we stressed over and over, and we can never stress enough, that the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, he said, perhaps a person fasting will receive nothing from his fasting except hunger and thirst. Why? Because he did not guard his tongue, he did not guard his eyes, he did not guard his ears. So he kept hungry but got no reward. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of that kind of fasting. So we must keep that in mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me, I will remember you. And in the Hadith of Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that when my servants remember me in their gatherings or alone, I remember him alone or in my gathering with the angels, that Allah gathers the angels. So what is dhikr? All forms of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah is dhikr, Quran is dhikr, fasting is dhikr. So when we are doing all of this, just remember, project it into the metaphysical world that we can see, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking down at us with pride and talking to his angels with pride, mentioning each one of us by name and saying, look at this abd of mine, who is obeying me? And in response, the angels say to him, Ya Allah, please forgive him. Ya Allah, forgive him. So the angels are deputed to make dua of forgiveness from the time of Suhoor till he breaks his fast. All the time, Ya Allah, forgive him. Ya Allah, forgive him. And they are pure. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them this duty. And how many angels there are, we have no idea. And so do a lot of dhikr and also do a lot of salah ala nabi, durood sharif, hundreds, thousand times every day. So every time you do one, you get 10 rewards for it. Allah sends salam on you 10 times. In Ramadan, you multiply everything multifold. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَحِّرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who do tawbah, which is inner cleansing, inner ghusl, and mutatahhirin, outer tahara, wudu. So stay always in a state of wudu. When your wudu breaks, renew the wudu. Stay in a state of outer purity and a state of inner purity by doing an abundance of istighfar all the time. That way you will become among those whom Allah loves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to him, the most beloved acts are the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So in every aspect, we should diligently observe the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and complete all of them, especially salawat on him. And as we said, that in the month of Ramadan, there are special windows of acceptance of du'a. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us, that the dua of a fasting person is always accepted till he breaks his fast, as long as he's observing the saum with all of its prerequisites. So spend a lot of time in dua in Ramadan, especially at the time of suhoor and before, between asr and maghrib, before the breaking, before the iftar. And also in the last third of the night, as we know, in Ramadan, outside of Ramadan, this is a special time of acceptance because Allah in His own majestic way, bila kayf, descends into the lowest heaven and asks people. He asks, who is looking for something so I can give them? Who is looking for my forgiveness? And so on and so forth. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness. We ask for our needs at that time. And as I said, at the time before we breakfast, before between Maghrib and Asr, after every Fard Salah, these are special opportunities. Don't be in a hurry to rush after finishing your Fard Salah. Do your dhikr after Salah, sit in dua, ask. Because this is the opportunity. It's all about this. Ad-dua huwa al-ibadah. This is the ibadah. This is mukhul ibadah. This is the head of worship. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Talk to him in moments of solitude, by yourself, munajat, no rush. And plead Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for yourself, for your parents, if they are alive, if they are gone, for them, for your families, for your children, for your relatives, for your teachers, for the shuyukh, for your community, the community leaders to guide them, for this ummah that's in great need to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for all of humanity, for their guidance, the guidance of our leaders, for the common man, for the special man, for the oppressors, that Allah guide them to stop their oppression, for the oppressed, that Allah help them and fortify them, for the living, that they die on iman and amal, and for the dead that have gone, that Allah forgive them and elevate their darajat. Remember that Allah is near and he will answer, as he says, the ayah of the Quran is right there, where the ayats of Ramadan, there is this beautiful ayah that tells us that this is a special opportunity of closeness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for inni qareeb ujibu da'wat idha da'an. They ask me, Ya Rasulullah, about me, tell them I'm indeed near. And I answer the dua, the supplications of the suppliant. But let him also fulfill his deeds, his covenant, what he is asked to do. And in Ramadan, and before Ramadan, we should practice what is called al-wara, which is exercising reverent caution, or what we can call, out of devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, abstinence, holding back from everything that is doubtful. I don't know about this is permissible, not is it right or wrong, I hold back. Not only that, but even indulging in what is halal. There's a lot of food and I indulge myself. Out of wara, I hold back, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to restrain. I'm not going to fill myself up with food. I'm not going to do, yes, it is permissible, but I'm going to exercise restraint. That's wara, out of reverence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just remember that these are the things to do. And again, make sure, as we know, the shayateen have been made inoperative. They are in chains. So this is another way, blessing of Ramadan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through this, helps us to identify who we are, who I am. Because now if bad thoughts are coming to me, I still have inclinations towards sin, that tells me it's my nafs, I cannot no longer blame the shaitan. And therefore, after identifying those weaknesses, now I work on trying to fix those weaknesses, because there are no more wasawis. So similarly, because the shayateen are changed, let us not do their job of acting as their representative in their absence by spreading evil and inviting to evil and assisting in evil. So be the Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the Khulafa of Shayateen. And as we said, at least in my house, and I hope in all your house, the TV, news outlets, all of that gets shut off completely, not to be opened, not to be turned on for any reason, because that's how it comes. And also plan on doing some good deeds that you do not normally do, besides the extra charity. If you've never met your neighbor, go and meet them and take a gift to them. Do something different. And then all of these goals that we are setting up, we have to monitor our progress. Am I achieving these on a daily basis and on a weekly basis? You know, I have daily actions that I have to do. So many salah, so much Quran, so many, you know, charity, all of that. I do that, which is called muhasaba, taking account, and muraqaba, always watching throughout the day. Am I fulfilling my obligations, the shurut, the conditions that I set for myself? So if the promises and rewards of Ramadan do not energize us to act and act enthusiastically, and to complete Ramadan with enthusiasm, to compete with each other in virtue, then it's an indication of weakness of our iman, which needs to be corrected. Because the fasting of Ramadan is not a goal in itself. It is a means of gaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His nearness. The beauty of this month can only be experienced by one who has observed the month of fasting and felt the divine blessings, experienced it. And when they feel it, the worldly burdens, the worldly worries and anxieties get lifted. And it gives a special feeling of tranquility, of peace, of happiness, which is similar to a prelude that awaits us, those who make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the sole aim of their life, which is in Jannah. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to recap briefly some of, I'm sorry for that ringtone that disrupted us, which reminds us of some of the glorious past of the Uthmani Caliphate, as portrayed in the series of Arturo. Going back to some of the ahadith, just to recap, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that whoever fasts Ramadan with iman and ihtisab will have his sins forgiven. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us when Ramadan enters, the gates of paradise are opened and the gates of hellfire are closed and the devils are chained. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that my ummah have been given 5 special things in Ramadan, which were not given to any previous ummah before. That the smell from the mouth of a fasting person is more beloved and sweeter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the fragrant smell of musk. Even though physically it may not seem very pleasing, yet it's the aroma of obedience as opposed to the odor of disobedience. Even though the mouth may smell fresh by people who disobey, yet the aroma of a fasting person is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then it says on the behalf of the fasting person, the fish in the sea seek forgiveness till they break their fast. In another narration, the angels ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their forgiveness till they break their fast every day and at the end of Ramadan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepares and decorates a special garden in Jannah every day and says to it, the time is near when my faithful servants will cast off their burdens and trials in this dunya and come to you. In this month, as we said, the evil-minded shayateen are chained so that they do not reach us with their evil waswasa. And on the last night of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the people. So one of the companions said, Ya Rasulullah, is this Laylatul Qadr? He said, La, no. He said, do you not see that workers are given their wages in full when they complete their job? Which means this forgiveness is additional at the end of completing Ramadan. So we have forgiveness daily from fasting. We have daily forgiveness from Qiyamul Layl. We have forgiveness on Laylatul Qadr, and we have forgiveness after completing all of Ramadan. Now, if somebody lets Ramadan pass without forgiveness, he is among the most despicable and deprived of people, as in that hadith of the 3 steps, when Jibreel alayhi salam cursed the person who lets Ramadan pass without gaining Allah's forgiveness, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ameen. There's another beautiful hadith, Hadith al-Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, every action of the son of Adam will be multiplied. A good action will be 10 times its value up to 700 times. And then he says, illa sawm, except fasting, because as-sawmu li, it is for me. Wa ana ajzibi, I am going to reward for it accordingly. Means he has not put a limit to the reward of fasting. This is the only act of worship that Allah has said it belongs to me, because there is ikhlas special. Then he says, for one who abandons his desire for food for my sake, there are two occasions of joy for the fasting person. One, when he breaks his fast, hopefully not with too much food, and the other, when he meets his Lord. In another hadith, Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fasting and the Quran will intercede on behalf of the ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Fasting will say, O my Lord, I prevented him from food and desires during the day, so accept my intercession for him. Forgive. Similarly, the Quran will say, O my Lord, I prevented him from sleeping by night, so accept my intercession for him. And the hadith ends with the bashara, the intercession of both will be accepted. As we said, whoever stands in Laylatul Qadr out of faith and Iman Ihtisaban will have their previous sins forgiven. The supplication, the dua of a fasting person is answered. In the month of Ramadan, in every day and night, those whom Allah grants freedom from fire, there is for every Muslim a supplication which he can make, dua istijab, which will be granted. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the five daily salawat, and from one Jummah to one Jummah, and from one Ramadan to the next Ramadan, is expiation of sins committed in between them, provided the person stays away from major sins. So major sins require tawbah, sincere repentance, and everything that goes with that, but all other sins, from one salah to the next, they are forgiven. From one Jummah to the next, as long as we are doing those salah, as long as we are fulfilling the Jummahs, and as long as we are fulfilling the rites of Ramadan. Now imagine the forgiveness in Ramadan itself between the salahs. Double. Imagine the forgiveness in Ramadan, in Jummah, between salahs. So all of this is to cleanse our hearts so that nothing remains. We need to come out of Ramadan as pure as the day our mothers gave us birth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a gate of paradise which is called Ar-Rayyan. And on the day of resurrection, he says, those who fast, Sa'imun, who fast, of course, all of Ramadan and regularly fast, will enter through it. And no one can enter it through one of this gate other than a Sa'imun. And when they have entered, it will be closed. No one else can enter. Okay, so whoever enters it will drink, and whoever drinks will never become thirsty. Fasting is also a shield, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. So when one of you is fasting, he should neither indulge in obscene language, nor should he raise his voice in anger. If someone attacks him or argues with him or wants to fight with him or insults him, he should say, Inni sa'im, I am fasting. I'm not going to take this bait and start arguing and fighting. Just remember that, controlling. And fasting is a shield against the fire of Jahannam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that. He also said that anyone who fasts one day, fi sabilillah, that's the condition, fi sabilillah, for the sake of Allah, Allah will keep his face away from Jahannam the distance of 70 years. Distance it takes to travel 70 years. By light, by sound, by horseback, just imagine 70 years removed from hellfire, by one day of fasting properly for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not with any other goals, not because of custom, not for weight loss, not for health reason, fi sabilillah. What an easy, I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so generous, He rewards out of proportion to these actions. What does it take to fast one day? Not much. And yet you get distant from the Jahannam by 70 years. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even encouraged the youth who could not get married to curb their base desires by fasting, indicating by that fasting is also a shield from our base desires. So those are some of the ahadith among many, many. We're just reviewing some ahadith from a book in which 63 ahadith are collected about Ramadan by Imam Ibn Abi Dunya. 63 number, as you know, is significant because that was the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there are many other ahadith that we read to give us enthusiasm, that burst forward to want to do in Ramadan what we have not done before. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this Ramadan, first of all, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us, balaghna Ramadan, that we help, that we reach Ramadan, and that we complete Ramadan, that He not challenge us with sickness and other things that prevents us from fully gaining the benefit of Ramadan. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us observe Ramadan with every detail, internal and external, with ikhlas only for His pleasure, to help us to achieve that which we have never achieved before and gain His qurb, taqwa, and His pleasure. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us come out of this Ramadan pure and cleansed of everything else. And then He energizes us in our journey to Him for the rest of our lives till the day that He has decreed that we meet Him. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Please pray for each other and pray for me and my family as well, because we are all in this boat together and we need each other's dua. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.